We're back to the Neil Haley Show and also the Media Giant Effect. And I'm getting this education vibe the last couple of weeks, bringing on some clients in education. And it's like in my days of the total education hour, I guess you go into the 14th year in radio and television where it all started in education. It all started with Total Tutor. It all started with the Total Education Hour. My guest today is Chris Goldberg. Chris, thanks for stopping by, man. We're going to talk STEM and different things. And you are a retired teacher, professor at Temple University. Kind of talk about your background a little bit and what your motivation is with this new book and how you're getting out there all over the country talking about it.
Thanks, Neil, for having me. Great. I was a public school teacher for 26 years. Actually, was a special education teacher in the beginning, and I have a doctorate in special education, which I got while I was a computer science teacher. I found I could help students with disabilities or all learners better in inclusive classes in technology than as a special education classroom teacher, but taught STEM. If your computers morphed, and this is K-8, I taught. Morphed into STEM in the last 10 years of my time as a teacher, and retired. It's almost 2 years now as a public school teacher, but didn't really retire. I just moved on and moved into higher education at Temple University, and I supervise student teachers. And while doing that, being that I'm in the city of Philadelphia, there's a gigantic push for equity in STEM education. There's a just the gap in STEM education has gotten wider and worse as years have gone on, just like in other areas of education where some students just don't get access to this incredibly important part of education that's woven into everything in
So did you
education.
teach in Philadelphia public
I
schools?
did not. I taught just outside Philadelphia in a Delaware County, they call it Delco, an interborough school district. It's right where the Philadelphia airport is. That's how close I was. It was right on the border. And also I taught in an inner city setting in the city of Coatesville for a couple years before that. But now I am working mostly in Philadelphia with schools as a student teacher, supervisor, and actually an administrator. And I get to see a lot of schools, and I'm going out now doing some professional development. So I'm getting to see, where things are and really trying to help with the equity in STEM education.
Yeah, let's talk. See, this is where you have wearing a lot of backgrounds of hats of if I would go in a time warp 20 years ago, again, I taught special education. I have a master's in education. So this is wearing a different hat back into the education piece of things. And I understand what you're talking about. I taught in the inner cities. I taught in Pittsburgh public schools and I taught in a Catholic school that was part of the Extra Mile Foundation years ago. So I understand. And the fact is we're not giving enough opportunities for kids in lower income areas with science, mathematics. It is really a daunting fact. We're leaving kids behind. There is a really gap in education, and we're seeing worse things after COVID than we ever saw before. So you have your work cut out for student teachers because those student teachers coming in as a, you being a, as a pra I was a, also a practicum teacher in the classroom when I had students come in that I would work where the Carlo University was working with me way years ago. So how has things changed? This is a good question. We'll get right into your book after that. How have things changed when it comes to how we're educating our new teachers?
Well, educating the new teachers, yeah, oh boy, because of COVID, students are a little less motivated and they're a little less, they have a little less direction and they never had as much as we would have wanted. And the thing about STEM that ties into that and to all that you just said is there's, we're going to be, we're short almost millions of, we are millions of workers in this country in STEM fields. Because of the just the lack of training and the incredible demand for kids that can program and do design and engineering and so many of the
Right.
other STEM areas. And there's also an incredible underrepresentation for females in STEM, 50% of our students,
Yes.
and minority students, Black and Brown and Indigenous, all of those populations are incredibly underrepresented and for a lot of different reasons. I address some of them in my book.
Yeah, so tell me about how you addressed them in your book. Give me a
We can
couple things.
talk
We don't
all
want to
day
give
about
away
it,
the
but
book.
I'll,
Yeah, go ahead.
here is the book. called Aaliyah and the Sensational Problem Solvers, What's Cooking? And what I did was, it's very inclusive. You see, I have a Latino girl, a Black girl, and a white boy. And I really wanted to hit all genders and all ethnicities. And we have the students in important roles that sometimes you may not see in children's book, with also, we won't call it a forward because it's a children's book, but an inspirational kind of message. And then woven in about a woman by the name of Gladys B. West, who very few people will know this. You know who Gladys West is? Have you
No, I
ever
don't.
heard of her? All right. Well, you have a cell phone, right?
Yes.
Wouldn't you be curious to know who really is in most responsible for creating GPS, which is really what your cell phone is?
Oh, wow.
Black mathematician by the name of Gladys B. West. Yeah. It's an amazing story. She's considered the fifth hidden figure, more hidden than Katherine Johnson and the ones that helped us get into space, because it was only 5 years ago that anyone ever really realized the role that she played in developing GPS, which is, one of the most important technologies we have. So the problem is, there's not enough role models of different race and ethnicities, and there's not enough encouragement for young ladies and students of color. They need to be pushed. They need to understand anyone can succeed in the STEM field.
Right.
And then the second part of it is, you may not go and become a programmer, but the skills you learn from the lessons of STEM, and I have a STEM lesson woven into the book, are so important that they help make students better thinkers. That's what we're lacking so much now, because everything is just Googling. It really is it. It's sit in front of your computer and ask the question. Back years ago, we would go research it and find the information ourselves and create maybe a little bit more, because we didn't have as much access. So there's advantages to having so much technology, but then there's the easy way out as well. So I think that the lessons from STEM, and STEM doesn't just mean science, technology, engineering, and math. I was just at the Pennsylvania State Technology Conference, and they, really pounded it into our heads. I know this, but I need to hear it again. It's integrating all subjects and integrating, STEM is a process. It's not a class. It's not just several subjects. It's all subjects, and it makes you
But
a better
integrating
teacher.
Science and mathematics in every subject and every thing, because we need to, especially with, we're on our way to space, every one of us at one point in time, and we're on our way to Web 3.0, and everything is going to be technology based. It's going to be robotics. It's going to be all these things. And if we don't integrate STEM into all of our classes, we're in trouble. And that's what the book's telling you in a lot of ways, right?
Right. It is. And the our leaders, actually the last three administrations, including this one, Biden Harris, are really focusing on STEM education. They put out a gigantic program in December. Pennsylvania, where I am, redid their state standards. New Jersey did it recently. So I'm close to New Jersey as well. And it is just so important in education, in so many ways, for students to be given access and really motivated to learn and embrace what it can do for them.
So Chris, let's first talk about, what should teachers do? Let's talk about teachers, let's talk about administrators, and let's talk about parents. A call to action, each one of them. First, teachers.
Teachers need to find ways to get training so that they can learn to integrate, because I just was with a bunch of teachers the other day, and they're like, I don't have enough time to do it. I don't have enough materials. I don't have enough training. So I did a training, and I showed them that there's really easy ways to do STEM that doesn't take so much time, so much money. Knowing that the teachers may not have the access to that, they need to go to their leaders, principals and superintendents, and say, I need more training in STEM. I need maybe some funding, some materials, but I need to know how to do it in my class, so it's not another thing I have to do, because I don't have time to do everything as it is. That's what scares teachers, is they have so much to do. If it's not made easy enough for them to integrate, they're probably not going to do it. So the administrators up at the top need to get training to their staff members and have them work together collaboratively with follow-up. So that's probably the teacher side of it. The administrators, if they're not pursuing STEM education and working it into and getting training for all their leaders and then bringing it back to their schools, they're missing out on one of the most important things going on in education now. It's critical. It's in the standards. It's being tested in Pennsylvania now. I don't know how you can't do it, but some of them, again, they don't have the time, the money, the resources. They're pulled in so many directions. Parents, boy, you know what's become the biggest thing? Summer STEM camp. Oh, my God. Send your kid to STEM camp in the summer. It's incredible. Actually, it's amazing with girls. There's a lot of girls STEM camps because there's so many people out there besides myself. Believe me, I'm one of many that are really pushing for this and advocating for STEM for all students. We kind of call it STEM for all. So parents need to push their kids, motivate their kids, and get them to think about computer science and all the things that STEM can do, and never give up on them. The one thing that happens is, and this is the research, girls by second grade think, I'm no good at math. Second grade. I never really saw that when
That's
I was
crazy.
A STEM teacher until sixth grade. I started to see it because the social norms are not for girls to be scientists and STEM
Too bad.
Programmers. Yeah. But girls are just as good. I have all the research. They're just as good as boys in math and science and everything else. Sometimes they may need to be encouraged more. And if they fail one time, you got to, as a parent or a teacher, pick them up and get them right back in there.
All right. I love it. Where can people get your book, Chris?
All right. Well, I'll show it one more time. I do have a website, Chris. GoldbergBooks.com. It's on Amazon. It's on a lot of the third party places, pretty much on every one of them, as if book people know Ingram Spark. So it's everywhere. I'm getting it into bookstores. The neat thing about the book, I got to plug it, is my illustrators are two of my 10-year-old students that I taught for five years.
Fantastic.
Before I retired. And most people actually, when they see my book, they're like, the best part's the illustrations, not the author and the job he did. They love the illustrations. And then they see that they were 10-year-olds and they're like, oh my God, it's unbelievable how, because they're kind of charming pictures. The cover was really well done.
Totally.
The pictures on the back, there's a portrait of Gladys West that I have a boy and a girl illustrator. And so you can find it on Amazon, really. If you type in Aaliyah and the STEMsational, it'll come up. And I have a second book in the works. It should be out in the fall, hopefully October. And my Latino girl, she's kind of the star of that one. And again, we're going to have another Latino scientist who's not well known, but is incredibly successful and inspirational as kind of that motivator. That's a part of the book as well.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thanks again for stopping by.
Fantastic.
All right. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.